What's up, everybody? How's everybody doing? Good? Good, good. Yeah? This side, are you good? Okay. How's everybody doing? Good? Good. This side again? Okay. This side? How about this side again? Okay. Now this side. Okay, we're going to do one more time. We might have a prize. I don't know. We'll figure this out. Okay. This side. Okay. We'll redo, okay? Cup. Okay. No. I said cup. Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1, go! Okay. You ready? 3, 2, 1. You threw a jacket. Wow. Oh, no. Okay. Sweet. So everybody's doing good, hopefully. The left side's a little stronger than the right side, but left side's strong side. So, all right. On my side, this is the left side. Okay. You can just hold on to it. Cool. Well, I see that. Okay. Let's get into the zone. Here we go. Jesus. All right. Okay, I'm glad everybody's doing good. I'm doing good. My name is Tim. If you don't know who I am, my name is Tim. Three letters, T-I-M. Beautiful, okay? Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. So, who remembers the last time I spoke on a Wednesday night? Okay. I almost fell out of a boat. Hey-o. Who remembers the title of it? Whoever knows, come up right now. Okay, what was the title of it? Whoever says it. I'm waiting. Okay, what is it?
Stepping out of the boat.
Yes, you get to keep that candy. Okay, sweet. That was it. That was the candy. Okay, cool. Let's pray. Let me get back into this. Sweet. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Shh. Okay, sorry. So, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We just thank you for what you're going to be doing tonight. Father, we just thank you for these group of people right here, that they're here every Wednesday, every Sunday, God, inviting friends and just experiencing your love and your joy throughout their normal lives, Father. I just pray you just fill them up tonight with more. Just fill them tonight with more of your spirit, more of your presence, Lord, that every eye and every heart and every ear will see and hear you and feel you, Jesus, in a greater way. In Jesus' name, everybody says, num. Cool. Sweet. Well, here we go. I am ready. I don't know if I'm like this table. I'm used to a stand, but I'll lean a bit. So, cool. Well, today, I am titling this message, We Are His. Let's all say, We Are His. Everybody, we are His. Beautiful. Cool. Let's say something else. I am a child of God. Say it again. I am a child of God. Let's do it one more time. I am a child of God. Guys, you're beautiful. Okay, sweet. I just want to like a little side note. When you say that and you declare that out loud, the Lord hears that and loves it. Like, doesn't matter if you're in a worship setting, doesn't matter if you're just walking your dog in the wintry, snowy weather. I don't know. Like, if you say that, and even now the Lord and the angels are rejoicing with you because you're declaring his name. You're learning more about him every time you say his name. So there's that. Sweet. Cool. So step out. Last time I spoke, about 2 months ago. That's like 2.5 to 3 months. I had the privilege to talk and share about Peter stepping out of the boat. And the boat that I had, there's a boat behind me that had different words on it and different phrases, and really talking about his story on the boat while the disciples were in the water. And just, you know, there was a big storm, and then Jesus was walking on the water. They thought it was a ghost. They're like, oh my gosh, it's a ghost, and all that. Remember that? Does everybody remember? Everybody clarify? Beautiful. Wonderful. I'm glad you were there. So from there, we were just talking about stepping out of the boat. And stepping out of the boat meant for Peter and for us, because I know many of us stepped out that night, to something greater. He stepped out with boldness. He took that fear that he had, and he stepped out and says, you know, the Lord is greater than fear because perfect love casts out fear. So for me, I told my story about I was living in fear and failure all my life, even through middle school and high school, because I wanted to prove something. I wanted to know something and know more. But I used the wrong route to do that. I tried to be cool at school. I did things I was not supposed to, like, you know, all that stuff. But for me, I stepped out of that boat of fear and failure so I could be with Jesus, okay? So tonight we are going to go, if you ever wanted to turn their page to 747, not the plane, but 747. Sweet, that's Luke 15, 11 through 32. We're going to be talking about the prodigal son returning, or the lost son returning. So while you're turning there, as I finish of what we talked about last time, in Matthew 11, 28 was one of our key verses that a couple months ago was, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And that was a big part of last time I spoke is, come to me all who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. And for us, it's like we're running around during school, running around during other things, family things. And it's like, how do we get rest out of that? It's all about come who are all weary and I'll give you rest. And that's what Jesus said to Peter when he was sinking out of that water. He said, come. And that's all he said. And he grabbed Jesus's hand and walked back to the boat. And then Jesus calmed the storms. So in our life, that's what we are. If we come to him, he will give us rest. So cool. So we turn to Luke 15, 11, 32. This is a parable. And during this time that Jesus is sharing on the Sermon on the Mount, we'll be looking at a young man who had everything but decided to take it and waste it away. So I'm going to go ahead and read this, and we'll get ready to do this thing. So verse 11, and he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. Let's say reckless living. Okay, remember that, okay? And then when he spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. Let's say in need. Let's remember that word. Okay, so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. Let's say pigs. Remember that word, okay? You're just going to remember all of it tonight. So, and he was longing to be fed with the pods that pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Verse 17, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise to go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion. Say compassion. Compassion. Sweet. And ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Basically, just confession. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put the ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he was found, and they began to celebrate. Sweet. Let's stop there and we'll dig into that. So in verse 13, we said reckless living. So let's define reckless living. Without thinking or caring about the consequences of an action. So what we just read in the beginning was there was two sons and a father. One of the sons, the younger one, asked for his inheritance, his money, whatever he had, and the father gave it to him. So first of all, that's a loving father already. He asked for his inheritance, and he was a loving father, said, go for it, here it is. But the second thing was he basically sold all of his property, so probably had some cattle, had some sheep, had some, you know, gold, Xboxes, cell phones, iPads, all what they have back then. And they sold it off to have money, to have cash. And so right after that, he walked out and walked to a far, far out land of the country and basically recklessly lived it away and squandered it away. And so what reckless living was is without thinking or caring about the consequences of an action. So that's basically, you know, I'm just going to define it in the way of back then. I don't really know what that meant, but I'm going to say gambling, probably, prostitutes, probably, living of the world, drinking, and idols. So we literally threw his money away for all the earthly things and the worldly things. Okay? Verse 15, he ran out of, he ran out of money and was hired to feed pigs. Like, you know how disgusting that is? Like, who knows, like, what a pig farm looks like or like, can imagine? Like, this is what I imagine right now. Like, a pig farm is, you know, they didn't have, like, the nice farms that they have here. It's literally probably, like, a mud pit where, like, where they pee and poop and, like, throw food in there. So they're just walking around in their own filth and eating their food. Like, that's what he was doing for a job. Because he left all of his money, he got rid of all of his money, left his father's house where he had everything, but decided to blow it off with people and with gambling and all this stuff. But now he's down to the lowest of lows, feeding pigs and eating the food of the pigs. That's pretty disgusting. So literally he's probably like in there like looking at this piece of corn that somebody ate half of. There's probably a maggot going through it, and you're like, oh, protein. No, disgusting. Probably dug into like the poop and pee and the mud and all that and took a bite of it. You know, that's what he was doing because nobody else would give him anything. Okay. In verse 17, he had a revelation from my father's servants eat better than me. Why don't I go back and become a servant at my father's house? Why don't I go back and just even, Father, forgive me. Let me be a servant at my own house. Because he's realizing then and there that, man, my servants, the ones that were taking care of me are living far better than I am. Is everybody tracking still? Everybody doing that? Cool. During that time, as we read, like he was thinking, he's like, man, I'm just going to go back. So he just went back. In verse 19, it says, doubt began to creep as he left feeding the pigs to go back to his father. So doubt, that was doubt in the way of, man, like, I am my father's servant now. Like, I'm not worthy to be a son anymore. And that's doubt. That's doubt creeping in. Let's all say doubt. Beautiful. Okay. So basically, I'm no longer worthy to be called a son of my father. So right now, he's already being filled with doubt, with shame, with embarrassment, disgrace, unworthiness because of what he's done. And he's already given up. He's already saying the father is going to accept me as a servant, and that's it, because I'm no longer to be a son anymore. Imagine like this in verse 19 of what we just said. Imagine of him walking back home, not taking a shower, nothing, just caked in this pig poop and pee and food and just, you know, just a couple days travel. I'm guessing it says a far off country, a long foreign area. So I'm guessing it's probably a good couple days walk. And it's like he's caked with this stuff on. Imagine that walk of shame, walk of unworthiness, of just thinking over and over again of just what he's done, of what he's given up, of what he's going to tell his father and ask his father to do, to be a servant at his own house. Like, just imagine, like, okay, pretend I'm the guy, the young guy. And that young guy says young guy in the way of it's probably your age. It's not like a person that has a family. It's probably your age, this young man that took all of his stuff and squandered it away. So imagine just walk in, man, I smell, man, there's like food, I'm hungry. You know, like this is all he was doing probably and just saying, gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? Man, I am stupid. You know, doubt and fear and all that's creeping in your mind saying, man, I am unworthy. The thing I did, thing I'm trying to get rid of, I can't do it anymore. And I'm just going to be a servant. My father's going to set me as a servant and that is it. So that's what I'm thinking and imagining of what he's doing for this couple days of walking, just caked with this stuff on, this filth, and just this guilt and this shame. In verse 20 through 24, let's look at that. Let's look again at what his father did when he saw him in the distance. So he was walking a few days, probably smelt even worse, because he was walking for a few days. He was in the desert, so it's going to be hot and sweaty and stinky. But from there, he was walking the distance, and he probably saw, like, you know, a mountain that he knew or his mailbox that had his name on it or, you know, whatever that they had back then. And his father in the distance saw him, probably a little shadow, but inside he knew. He knew it was his son. You know, it says he saw him from the distance, and he just began to run. Like, begin to run. Not just like a little, but it says he probably grabbed up his little robe dress or whatever he had, and he's probably like this. Running, but he's like, that's my son. That is my son. You know, he's not thinking about what he did. He's not thinking about why he left. He's not thinking about what the consequences are when he sees him. He's just saying, that's my son and I'm going to run, you know, like, and then he ran and meet him, and he didn't just do like a side hugs for friends type deal. He embraced him. So another, a meaning for embraced is closely in one's arms, especially as a sign of affection. So again, to accept. He literally embraced him and accepted him. So no side hug, none of this, hey, awkward side hug, hey, dad, how's it going? You know, it was literally, come on here, let me give you a bear hug. So the son came to him and asked, probably felt shameful, probably didn't look him in the eyes and just said, let me be your servant at the house. Let me be yours. Let me just, I have sinned against you and of the heavenly father. Let me just be your servant. And the father quickly, like, it says quickly for the reason of, he probably didn't even think and like, maybe let's do this. But he said, he had the full on boldness and courage and said, there's no doubt in his voice, quickly, hey, servants, grab the robe, grab the ring, grab the sandals and kill the fatted calf. Okay. So I just want to walk through those. Grab the robe. The robe represents the garment of praise, of new life, of what he looked like and what he's done in his life. That robe covers that up because he's a new creation. He's new to his father. He's no longer there just to be a servant. But the father saw more in him. And he says, get that robe and put it on him right now. Because he probably stinks. So he's probably being nice as well. And blocking that old life. So the new life, now the old life is blocked. That ring is a seal of being a part of a family again, of honor. So the robe is on him and he has the ring. And that's probably the family crest or however you say it. That ring is something to show that he is actually part of that family, that he's no longer a servant or whoever thinking about he's going to be a servant. Like, imagine, like your parents. Like, if you did something bad, if you did something wrong, and you're shameful, and you're doing that two-day hike just to tell them what's going on, or confession, or, you know, just telling something that you've done. Like, his father did not tell him to go to his room to do that, think about it. There's probably some things later down the road. Doesn't say in here, the Lord said it, this house said it, so we're going to go this way. But, you know, he gave him the robe and the ring and the sandals. And those sandals also represent that he's no longer, servants didn't wear shoes back then. Servants were so, like, the low of the low that they didn't need to wear shoes. And that was showing to him on that last second of that gift that he was given was those sandals were definitely the sign of, hey, servants don't wear shoes. Give him some shoes. You're not going to be a servant at my house because I'm your father and you are my son and I'm going to accept him and accept you. So, and then the feast. The father is always prepared to accept his children back. It's a celebration. So verse 32, as we read there, it was fitting to celebrate and be glad for this is your brother who was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. So for us, you know, the father gave the young man or that young son the robe to cover up that stinkiness, to cover up that shameful deed, to cover up all that sin and all that stuff that was going on of what he did in the past. And then he gave him a ring to say that, hey, I'm going to show you honor because I love you. And that's a true father. And then he gave him the sandals and said, you know, servants don't wear sandals, so I'm going to give you these sandals because you're no longer a servant. You've never been a servant. You're of our blood. You are my son. Guys, this parable is what it looks for us going back to our Heavenly Father. When we do things or when we do something, the Father, like, just imagine how much more the Father will accept you back than just this Father that accepted his son back. When those moments when the last time we were stepping out of that, and it's like, how's that going? From when you last time you stepped out, like, how is that going from what you've been doing? Like, you know, we all have that up and down in our life, the mountain to the valley, mountain to the valley. But, like, how is that going? Like, right here represents of what the Father will do if you just go to him, if you just walk to him, if you just say, hey, I messed up. But he didn't see that mess up. He didn't see that filth. He didn't see the sin and the shame. But he saw his son again, and he says, let's celebrate with a fatted calf because the loss has been found. Okay? Sweet. So I have this door here. So, Lauren, if you want to go ahead. This door is kind of, I feel like, this is for me as well as you. I'm being vulnerable here. But I have this door here that what we talked about today, you can go ahead and start taping, represents of what we might see in our lives on a day-to-day basis, that things in our lives that we might have done we might be feeling in our hearts, in our lives, of how do we get rid of this? How do we get rid of our sin? How do we get rid of just living this normal life, this heartbroken life? And as you see, Lauren, there's just different things: disgrace, embarrassment, failure, waste, disobedience, idiot, not loved, guilty. We feel so lost that we might shut the door and not let anybody in, not even God, because of that. Like, we might just feel like we're in our room, in our bedroom. And has anybody, like, got angry at their parents and just shut the door? I have. Let's all be real, okay? And it's like one of those analogies of, like, you know, you don't want to tell anybody because you're ashamed, or you feel guilty, or you feel like you're an idiot. You don't know how to say it in the right way. And I feel like some of us don't know how to share that with God because we feel like God feels the same way about us, that you never can come back to me as a son or a daughter, that you can never come back to me, to God as a new creation, that there's still going to be that mindset in his eyes and in your eyes, in your mind, because you don't know what's, you know, you're just going to live with that on your shoulders the rest of your life. And I think many of us, like, see this door, and I've seen this door. I've seen this, like, looking at it and saying, man, I am selfishness. I have shame. I'm ugly, you know? Like, what the heck? Like, I'm not even worthy of being here right now. Like, why am I at church? People know I'm the only one at this. I feel like I'm alone in this. Nobody understands what's going on in my life. And we see these just as probably this son saw while he was at that pig farm, thinking about maybe I'll be a servant at my father's house. And just seeing that judgment, you know, just figuring out, like, what you've done, pride and sin, like, what's going on. And I think for many of us, we see this and we're like, you know, this is what the Lord sees. This is what the Lord is looking at right now. And I can't go past this. That is always going to be in the back of my mind. It's always going to be on my shoulders. It's always going to be where I'm going, that there's still going to be that, like, oh, man, you're perfect. You're awesome. But you don't really know what I did. You know, like, that mentality of there's never going to be freedom there. It's always just going to be still there. And you might have glimpses of freedom, but then the enemy will attack you and say, remember those times you did this? Remember those times you've done this? You know, okay? But I just really want to, like, show you Matthew 7:7-8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. Guess what's on the other side of the door? Jesus. I feel like a lot of us see this and we're like about to knock and we're about to, but then we get sidetracked and see everything here. We're about to like open this door, but then we're like, we see it again and we're like, man, I'm just hungry for more. Like, I know what's right. I know what's good, but I just don't know how to step out. I don't know how to get rid of this. And we always see this, but the Lord's on the other side, just waiting, you know, just saying, come on, you got this. Like, you know, you got this. And I think for some of us, even me, like, I'm not perfect. Like, this is not just for you guys. This is for me and the leaders and everybody here. That there's moments in our life that when we're stuck and we don't know how to get out of this. But as we read here in the father accepting his son, he didn't see that shame. He didn't see that of what he did wrong. He didn't see that he lost all his money. He didn't see that filth. Because he was clothed with a robe, he had his honor with his ring, he had his sandals on as being a family member, no longer a servant. He had the fatted calf to celebrate not what he's done wrong, but what he's going to be doing and what he is now as a son of Jesus Christ and a son of that father. And I just feel like today that, like, this is what we see and this is what God sees, okay? You ready? This is what God sees. He doesn't see any of these labels that you've put on. He doesn't see any of those things that you feel about yourself, because he sees pureness. He sees love. He sees those things that you might not even see, but he knows, because he created you here for a reason, and God is love. Like, the fear is gone because God is love. Love overcomes fear. And for us, I think we're so busy looking at these labels on the other side of where we're sitting out trying to get to God. But it just says, seek and knock, and the door will be open to you. And I think for us, there's moments of, like, this is God. This is what God sees. And it's like, Tim, just open the door. Guys, just open the door. because I don't see those labels where you think you're just sitting there wasting your time. Open the door, and I'm there waiting for you with my arms wide open, just like the father did to his son. Not just side hug for friends, but an embraced him, accepted him. And I think for some of us, for me, for, you know, anybody listening on the podcast, you know, I think it's sometimes hard for us to understand that. But I just really wanted to show you and just give that to you. And I have some verses for you. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfect in love. Deuteronomy 31:8, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Let's just read that again. He will not leave you or forsake you. God is not a father that steps out one time and never comes back. He is always there no matter what's going on in your life. He's always there. We might feel that, well, I messed up yesterday. Or we might feel that, I said this to my parents the other day. He's always there. Every prayer, like even on this side, every prayer, every song, every cry for help, he's always there listening. He always knows. He will leave you and not forsake you. Get that in your mind. Beautiful. Psalms 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Again, we are his. He's never going to leave us, never going to forsake us. We are his sheep in his pasture. He's always going to guide us where we need to go. That staff that he carries, that's a thing to guide and to pull away from those barriers or those guardrails that you might try to overcome and you might try to live of the land, but those guardrails are what Jesus' staff or whatever, the sheep of the pasture, he guides you and says, hey, whoa, like, let's go this way because I'm going to be with you always. But I think there's moments when we feel like he's not with us, but he's actually with us. There's moments when we feel like we're failing or we're sinning or we're not paying attention or we're not like in our prayer moments. We just feel dry. Like he's still there no matter what because he'll never leave you or forsake you. So short message, but hey-o. So to end out tonight, I just want all of us to close our eyes. Worship team can come back. Let's all just close our eyes. You can dim the lights if you want. I think some of us might understand what I'm talking about and going through here. Some of us not have no idea what I'm saying, but I just want everybody to close your eyes and just let's rest in his presence. And I just want everybody just to think. Think of maybe you have those words that you might have saw on that door, or there's things in your life that you know that you're trying to get rid of or you're trying to step out of to find freedom in. I think there's some of us here that have those moments. There's some of us here that needs that freedom, that needs just to open that door. Just because God is sitting right behind that door, just waiting, accepting and waiting for that embrace. I think many of us here just need that moment. So just for like a minute or so, I just want you to keep on closing your eyes and just think. Just think. You might be saying, hey, I have none of that. That's awesome. That's a testimony. That's great. So keep on living that way. But there might be some of you here that has that one thing or one desire that you know you shouldn't be doing. Or that one thing or the few things that you know that maybe something happened to you with another person of abuse. And you don't know how to step out. You don't know how to, you just see that wall of shame. You just see that door of guilt. Like how nobody understands me. The Father understands you. He will never leave you or forsake you. He's always there. With your eyes closed, I just want all the leaders to come up. There's going to be leaders in the front of this stage all around. And this is another sign of a couple months ago that we stepped out of that boat, but this is going to be a time for us to go to them and say, hey, I'm confessing of what's going on. Hey, this is what I need prayer for. Hey, this is what I need help with to keep on standing strong because I might not be, I might not understand Tim's analogy. I might not understand what these words are because I don't feel that. Well, then come up and just get pray for more strength throughout your day. You know, this is a moment for us to all step together, all stand out boldly without fear, and just say, these people up here probably have experienced the same thing once in their life, a couple times in their life. And I think for us as leaders, for us or as you students, as parents, that we're not in this alone. We all understand we've all been through something like this. And as we worship, I just encourage all of you guys just to give it your all. Like, I've seen you guys do it, and I love seeing it, and the Father loves seeing it. As we declared this before I spoke, what we are children of God. God loves that. And I hope you all believe that. So I'm just going to pray if everybody wants to stand up now. And we're going to go back into worship and just worship our hearts out. And I just encourage everybody, if you feel like you need to step out again, if you feel like you need just to go to somebody to pray, that we're going to be here all night if it needs to be, just to pray for each, every one of you. So let's all come to the front a bit if you can. I know it's kind of like, well, I'm not stepping out, but I am. But anyways, sweet. I'm going to pray. Let's just lift our hands. So Father, we just thank you right now for who you are. Father, we just thank you for what you've been doing already tonight, God, and what you're going to be doing, Father. God, we thank you for just what these parables that you've shown us, God, these stories, Father, this life you've given us, Father. I just pray for more, God, right now, God. If there's any distraction right now, Father, on each of these students, any of these students, to be gone in Jesus' name, that they'll understand who you are tonight, Father, in a greater way, just by stepping out again and saying, I want more of you, Father. I'm opening up that door not to see what these labels were, but I'm opening up the door to see that you're there waiting for me. It's just that easy step of opening up, Father. And I just pray right now, you just fill them up, God, with peace. Fill them up with joy. Fill them up with happiness. Fill them up with your love, Father, in a greater way tonight, Lord. That it's no longer stepping in on a Sunday and Wednesday, Father, and going back to your normal routine, but it's time for us to live week out and week in of knowing who you are in a greater way, of learning who you are in a greater way, Father. And I just thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen.